Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Yesterday in the Beacon Broadcast, we began our examination of Colossians 3:17, which is a Christian philosophy of living. And it actually covers every area of life, as incredible as that claim may sound. But here is the text: "And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." That is comprehensive. It covers everything, whatever you do, activities, whatever you say, whatever you do in word or deed, whatever your speech is, do all to the glory of God. So this is a very comprehensive text. In examining it, I thought it would be helpful to also compare it to a similar one in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, which says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Those two texts taken together complement one another and help to explain one another. And therefore, my reason for going to that text first before we come back to examine the one in Colossians more carefully. So we'll continue that on this Thursday, January 26, as we are enabled to do so by the gifts of our radio listeners, whose contributions make it possible for us to continue teaching on this station. Thank you for your consideration. Well, back to 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." We have to consider this text, as the one in Colossians, in its context if we're going to understand it. And this text demands that we do that by that opening word, "therefore." It is a concluding statement. Having said a number of other things, Paul, by the Spirit of God, now says, "Therefore, in the light of what has gone before, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Now, backing up, we realize that Paul has been talking about a relationship, or our relationship, I should say, with idolatrous practices. That's the point here. He talks about, "Beloved, flee from idolatry," verse 14. He goes through a lot of details about involvement with idols, temples, and with idolatry, and the various practices of idolatry, which often involve eating and drinking. They involve a meal. And that's the whole point here. "You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" And then we came to verse 23 that I ended the broadcast with yesterday, where Paul says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify." And we realize by taking this in context that Paul is not saying that it's lawful for me to do anything whatsoever. It is not lawful for me to lie. It is not lawful for me to steal. It is not lawful for me to commit adultery. It is not lawful for me to blaspheme. All of the things that are spelled out in the Word of God are not lawful for me if they are prohibitions, or it is not lawful for me to omit them if they are requirements. There are thou shalt nots and there are thou shalts. And anything that is spelled out in the Word of God is a requirement, and that doesn't fall into the category of verse 23. But when Paul says all things are lawful for me, he means all things that are not spelled out in Scripture. He's dealing with the principle of Christian liberty. This is something that some people have a hard time getting a hold of. But this is what the verse is saying. If the Bible doesn't prohibit it, it's lawful for you. if the Bible doesn't require it, then it is lawful for you not to do it. Anything beyond that, that someone else tells you is prohibited or someone else tells you is required and is not found in the Bible, becomes legalism. That's what we mean when we're talking about being legalistic. We could say, instead, being Pharisaical, adding regulations to the Bible that God did not give. That's what the Pharisees did. They not only took the 613 requirements and prohibitions combined together, the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots, that were given by God through Moses to the people of Israel, but they added many more on top of that. They had more than 613. God had a lot. 613 is an awful lot of commandments. God had a lot of them in the Old Covenant that his people were required to follow, but the Pharisees came along and heaped on top of that their own, and they were interminable. They were burdens, as Jesus said, that were too heavy for men to bear. And so that's what most people mean when they talk about being legalistic. They talk about adding things to the Bible that the Bible doesn't require. And that's something that we must learn to avoid. Many of you have grown up in churches that had a legalistic tendency or streak to it, and they said, you shall not do this, you shall not do that, you must not do this, you must not do that, you cannot go to a theater, you cannot play cards, you cannot, I mean, the list is almost interminable, and it depends on where you grew up. I've even heard people that prohibited Christians going to a ball game, a baseball game, a football game. You cannot do that. That's worldly. And on and on and on it goes. Well, Paul deals with that here in 1 Corinthians 10:23, and he says, all things are lawful for me. All things that are not prohibited by Scripture are lawful for me. But, he goes on to say, not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. In other words, my only consideration is not what is spelled out in the Bible, but there is another consideration as well. What is that? We might call that the principle of deference. That's verse 24. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. That's what the Bible tells us to do, and that's what Christians who really desire to please the Lord and to help, not hurt others, will do. The only question is not, is this lawful for me? Do I have Christian liberty to do it? But there is an even more important question, and that is, does this help or hinder those around me? Now, here's the point on that one, because that one becomes a great tool for the legalist to say, I'm telling you that playing cards is harmful to others, therefore you can't do it. I'm telling you that going to a theater is harmful to others, therefore you can't do it. No, that's not the way this works. Things that are not spelled out in Scripture must be decided by each person individually. I can't impose those things upon you, and you can't impose them upon me, but every serious-minded child of God is going to weigh that very heavily before the Lord in his decision. And what I would say is that in those specific things that I just mentioned, card playing, for example, there are some situations where I think it would not be harmful to others and others where it would. And you're going to have to be able to evaluate that situation properly. If I am among Christians who have been taught that card playing is wrong and their conscience is bothered by it, it would be very inconsiderate, insensitive of me to play cards with them, and even more inconsiderate of me to try to drag them into a card game. I may have the liberty to do it, but that's not the time and the place. And on it goes. If I'm fellowshipping with, if I'm participating in activities with a Christian who has a real problem with attending a theater, going to a theater, then it would be very harmful, very wrong for me to try to entice him to do something that he thinks is wrong, that his conscience bothers him about. I can't do that. That doesn't edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. It also might be the consideration of an unsaved person that I'm trying to win to Christ. How foolish for me to do something that's offensive to him. Is it lawful for me? Yes, because the Bible doesn't prohibit it. Is it edifying to others and glorifying to Christ? No, not necessarily. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify, that is, build up. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. So we do have the principle of Christian liberty, which we need to understand and embrace, but we also have the principle of deference, which means that I defer my liberties to the well-being of others. That doesn't mean that this becomes a rule of life. I never go to a theater because that might bother my friend. I never play cards because it might bother my friend. But, of course, there are other considerations too. It's not easy to find something in a theater that's wholesome. So you've got a whole host of other things coming in now. Is this lasciviousness? Is this feasting upon adultery and fornication and things which are forbidden in the Word of God? So there are other considerations, but if there's a wholesome film, I have actually been to a movie theater one time in my whole life. I grew up in a background where that was prohibited. I recognize now that it's not, that that's not in and of itself a sinful activity, but I still don't feel tremendously comfortable about it. But one time my wife wanted to see a particular film. It was one of the C.S. Lewis Chronicles of Narnia films, which are very wholesome. And she wanted to see it, and I said, well, I'm not very comfortable with that. She said, well, if we would go to another city nearby where it's very unlikely anyone knows you and would see us going into the theater, would you consent to that? And I said, yes, and I went. Now, I know full well that going into a theater in my town or in the other town is not in itself sinful. But if I'm uneasy about it, it's not safe to do that. Now, when I went to the other city, I didn't feel like I was doing wrong. I know I wasn't doing wrong. Did I enjoy it? Not particularly. I found the noise, the sound level was so loud it bothered me terribly. I really had difficulty enjoying it, not because I thought I was doing something that was questionable, because the volume was so loud that I was very physically uncomfortable. And I said, let's just wait until we can rent this or buy it on a DVD or whatever and watch it at home. I didn't enjoy that experience at all. But not because it was sinful. There were other considerations. So in this area of Christian liberty, we have to, number one, figure out what is prohibited in Scripture and be willing to submit to that. But number two, we have to take the well-being of others into consideration. And that's a whole different question. But the spiritually minded Christian is going to ask those questions. And this is leading up to the text, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We'll take it up again tomorrow, Lord willing. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.